What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com. This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more. Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
After his wife died, the garage became the center of his father's life. At first, everyone understood why. The house felt too quiet without her. She had filled every room so completely for more than 30 years that her absence seemed to change the shape of the place itself. The television stayed off more often. Meals became simpler. Entire sections of the house went unused for days at a time because there was no reason to walk into them anymore. But the garage still felt familiar. His father had spent years out there with his best friend working on old engines, rebuilding lawn tractors they didn't need, fixing neighbors' cars for free, or simply sitting in folding chairs while the radio hummed softly in the background. Most evenings after work, one or both of them ended up in that garage, whether they had an actual project or not. The friend had died 2 years before his mother, one of those deaths people described as merciful because it happened fast, though nobody close to him ever seemed comforted by that idea afterward. His father took it hard. The two men had known each other since high school and spent so much time together over the years that people jokingly referred to them like an old married couple. If one truck was parked somewhere, the other usually wasn't far away. Holidays, fishing trips, cookouts, county fairs, they rarely showed up separately. After the funeral, his father still wandered into the garage at the same time every evening out of habit. Only now he sat there alone. At least that was what everyone assumed. After his mother died, the routine became even more fixed. Dinner around 6, local news afterward. Then eventually the garage light clicking on sometime before dark settled fully outside. His father would stay out there for hours, sometimes working, sometimes simply sitting in silence. When family visited, they usually found him there instead of inside the house. The garage carried the smell of old motor oil, sawdust, coffee, and cigarettes long after nobody smoked anymore. Tools hung in careful rows along the wall exactly where they had been for years. Half-finished projects sat untouched on workbenches because nobody wanted to move them. The strange things started gradually enough that nobody paid much attention at first. The radio turning on by itself, that happened several times during the first few months after his mother's funeral. His father would swear he had shut it off before going inside, only for old country music to drift faintly from the garage sometime after midnight. Then came the coffee cups. His father always drank coffee while working outside, and more than once family members noticed two cups sitting on the workbench instead of one. The first couple times, everyone assumed he had simply forgotten setting out an extra mug while distracted. Then his sister quietly pointed something out while helping clean the garage one afternoon. The second cup was never random. It was always the same old stained mug his friend used to use, and after that, little details started standing out more. Tools moved overnight. The stool beside the workbench pulled slightly away from the wall as though someone had been sitting there recently. A wrench left on one side of the garage appearing somewhere completely different the following morning. Once, after heavy rain, his father found muddy boot prints leading halfway across the concrete floor before stopping abruptly near the old tool chest. No prints leading back out. His father never seemed particularly disturbed by any of it. That was the part everyone else struggled with. Whenever someone pointed out something strange, he usually reacted with mild irritation more than fear, like people were overcomplicating something obvious. One night during dinner at the house, the motion light above the garage suddenly switched on outside the kitchen window. Everyone noticed it immediately. His sister looked toward the driveway expecting headlights, but the yard beyond the garage remained completely dark except for the pale security light shining above the side entrance. His father barely reacted at all. After that, the atmosphere around the garage changed for the rest of the family. Not openly. No one started talking about ghosts constantly or refusing to step inside during daylight hours. But people stopped lingering out there alone after dark. Conversations lowered whenever the subject came up. More than once, he caught family members glancing toward the side window whenever the motion light triggered unexpectedly at night. His father noticed it too. One evening, while they were putting tools away after replacing brakes on an old pickup, his father finally acknowledged the tension surrounding the garage. He made an offhand comment suggesting everyone seemed more uncomfortable about the situation than he was. Because his father genuinely believed his friend was still there. Not in a theatrical way. Not like someone trying to convince other people. If anything, he sounded mildly confused that nobody else seemed to understand it already. A few weeks later, he experienced something himself for the first time. He had stopped by after work to help move a refrigerator into the garage for storage. His father spent most of the afternoon rearranging equipment to make space while he handled the heavy lifting. By the time they finished, it was already dark outside. His father went inside to answer a phone call while he stayed behind, organizing extension cords near the workbench. That was when the radio turned on. At first, the sound was low enough that he thought it might be coming from outside. An old country station drifted softly through the garage speakers beneath a layer of static, the kind of music his father and his friend always listened to while working out there. He immediately looked toward the shelf where the radio sat plugged into the wall. The power switch was still off. He crossed the garage slowly and checked it himself, pressing his thumb against the switch as the music continued playing through the speakers anyway. That was the moment the uneasiness really settled in. Up until then, every story about the garage had still felt distant enough to explain away somehow. Faulty wiring, forgetfulness, grief making people notice things they normally wouldn't. But standing there in the quiet garage with the radio playing despite having no power, he felt something shift inside him that he could not explain rationally anymore. Then somewhere directly behind him, a stool scraped softly across the concrete floor. He turned immediately. The stool beside the workbench had moved several inches backward from where it had been earlier, angled slightly away from the counter now as though someone had just pushed themselves up from it. And beneath the smell of dust, oil, and cold air drifting through the garage door seals came the unmistakable smell of cigarette smoke. His father's friend had smoked the same unfiltered cigarettes for 40 years, and suddenly the garage smelled exactly like him. He left the garage immediately after that, not running exactly, but close. The radio continued playing softly behind him as he stepped into the cold night air and crossed the yard toward the house. By the time he reached the kitchen door, he had already started trying to explain the experience away in his own head. Maybe the radio switch was faulty. Maybe he had bumped the stool without noticing. Maybe the smell of cigarette smoke had simply triggered an old memory because the entire situation already had him on edge. The explanation sounded reasonable for almost the entire walk inside. Then he opened the kitchen door. His father was standing at the counter pouring coffee into two mugs. Without thinking, he glanced toward the second cup. The same stained one. His father noticed where he was looking but didn't seem embarrassed or defensive about it. If anything, he looked mildly distracted, as though the extra cup had become normal enough that he no longer thought about it consciously. That bothered him more than if his father had openly claimed the garage was haunted. The situation never became dramatic after that. No objects flew across rooms. No shadow figures appeared standing in doorways. The strange things remained small, almost ordinary on the surface, but that somehow made them harder to dismiss because they felt woven into everyday life instead of separate from it. The motion light above the garage continued turning on at odd hours. The radio occasionally played after everyone had gone to bed. More tools shifted places overnight. Once his father swore someone had tightened bolts on an old engine block he had been planning to work on the next day. Another time, he found a socket wrench sitting neatly beside a lawn tractor after spending an entire evening searching the garage for it. And always, every so often, the smell of cigarette smoke drifted through the garage for no obvious reason. His father gradually stopped pretending. The events bothered him at all. At first, everyone assumed the strange incidents would fade eventually, especially once enough time passed after the deaths. Instead, the opposite happened. The garage became even more central to his father's routine. He spent nearly every evening out there now, often staying until well after midnight with the radio humming softly through the darkness. Sometimes family members noticed him turning his head slightly while sitting alone, as though listening to someone beside him. Other times they would glance through the kitchen window and see him pause in the middle of working, looking toward the empty stool near the workbench before quietly nodding to himself. Nobody liked talking about it openly. Not because they thought his father was losing his mind exactly, but because none of them could fully explain the things happening around the garage anymore either. The first time someone outside the family experienced something happened during Thanksgiving. Relatives filled the house that year, most of them trying harder than usual to keep the mood light after the difficult previous months. People crowded the kitchen, football played on the television, and for a while the house almost felt normal again. Then sometime after dinner, one of his younger cousins came inside looking confused. She asked who had been sitting with his father in the garage. The room went quiet almost immediately. She didn't understand the reaction at first and casually explained she had seen his father through the side garage window talking to someone while she was outside taking a phone call. She assumed another relative had stepped out there with him, until she walked closer and realized there was only one truck in the driveway. His father had been alone when she looked through the window again. After that, several family members quietly admitted they no longer liked walking past the garage at night. The atmosphere around it felt different now. Heavy somehow. Not threatening exactly, but occupied. That winter, snowstorms moved through the area almost nonstop. The garage became even more isolated whenever snow piled along the sides of the driveway and covered the surrounding fields in silence. Some nights the motion light glowed against falling snow for hours at a time, while his father remained outside long after midnight. One evening he stopped by unexpectedly after work and found the garage door partially open, despite temperatures barely above freezing. The radio was playing inside. His father sat near the workbench drinking coffee while an untouched second cup rested beside him. What unsettled him most was the expression on his father's face. Not fear, not grief either. Comfort. For the first time since his mother died, his father genuinely looked less alone. That realization stayed with him long after he drove home that night because part of him finally understood why the activity never seemed to frighten his father. The way it frightened everyone else. If the garage really was haunted, then from his father's perspective, it wasn't by something unknown and it was his oldest friend, and maybe that made all the difference. Still, the uneasiness continued building. One night his sister called after visiting the house alone while their father ran errands in town. She sounded unsettled enough that he immediately asked what happened. She said she had been sitting at the kitchen table when she heard someone moving around in the garage. At first, she assumed their father had come home without hearing his truck pull in. She even heard tools shifting around faintly through the connecting wall, followed by the familiar metallic scrape of the old rolling stool moving across the concrete floor. Then she looked out the front window and realized their father's truck wasn't there. The sounds continued for nearly 2 minutes after that. She left before he came home. Not long after that incident, his father finally admitted something none of them had expected. The activity did not happen every night, and it only happened when he talked about him. At first, that sounded almost comforting in a strange way, like memories somehow stirred the activity. But the more he thought about it, the more unsettling the idea became, because it meant something might actually be listening. After that, none of them looked at the garage the same way again. Before, the stories had still felt manageable somehow. Strange, maybe, but contained. A radio turning on, tools shifting places, the motion light glowing unexpectedly in the middle of the night. Small things people could almost laugh off if they tried hard enough. But the idea that the activity responded to conversation changed the atmosphere completely. Now every mention of his father's friend carried weight. People caught themselves lowering their voices unconsciously whenever his name came up inside the house. Family gatherings felt different too, less relaxed and more aware. Eventually, someone would glance toward the dark garage windows if the conversation drifted too far into old stories about him. And almost every time something happened afterward. Not immediately, but close enough to feel deliberate. The motion light clicking on outside. The radio drifting faintly through the walls. The sound of movement from the garage when nobody should have been there. His father never seemed bothered by any of it. That was still the strangest part. If anything, he appeared calmer as the months passed. He slept better than he had after his mother died. He laughed more during family visits. Some of the heaviness he had carried for the previous 2 years slowly faded in ways nobody knew how to talk about comfortably, because no one wanted to say out loud what it looked like. It looked like he wasn't alone anymore. Spring arrived slowly after the long winter, and for a while the activity became less frequent. The motion light triggered less often. The radio stayed quiet most nights. Even the cigarette smell faded enough that he almost convinced himself things were finally returning to normal. Then his father started spending even more time in the garage. Sometimes family members would wake up after midnight and still see the light glowing through the backyard. Other nights, neighbors mentioned noticing the garage open late while his father sat inside listening to baseball games on the radio. Once, a neighbor casually asked who had been helping him move equipment around out there so late the previous evening. His father had been alone. That summer, he stopped by one Saturday afternoon to help organize old storage shelves before a family cookout. The garage felt warmer than usual, with both doors open to the heat, sunlight stretching across the concrete floor while dust drifted through the air in slow golden streaks. For most of the afternoon, everything felt normal. Comfortably normal. His father joked more than he had in years. The radio played softly in the background while they sorted tools and moved old boxes into the rafters. For the first time in a long while, he caught himself relaxing out there instead of constantly waiting for something strange to happen. Then his father disappeared into the house to answer a phone call. A few minutes later, while reorganizing a shelf near the back wall, he heard another set of footsteps inside the garage. Not vague sounds settling in the walls. Actual footsteps crossing concrete slowly behind him. At first, he assumed his father had come back outside without saying anything. He even started turning around to ask where a box should go, but the words never came out because no one was there. The garage stood completely empty behind him. He stayed perfectly still for several seconds, listening to the silence settle back over the room. Somewhere outside, he could hear distant lawnmowers and kids yelling faintly from neighboring properties. Ordinary summer sounds, daylight everywhere. Nothing should have felt frightening. Then the rolling stool near the workbench moved, not violently or fast. It simply rolled a few inches sideways across the concrete floor and stopped. His chest tightened immediately because the movement looked casual, natural, like someone shifting position while listening to a conversation. And beneath the smell of hot wood, motor oil, and dust came cigarette smoke again. Fresh this time. Strong enough that he instinctively looked toward the open garage doors, expecting to see someone outside smoking near the driveway. Nobody was there. After that day, he understood something he had been trying to avoid admitting to himself for nearly a year. Whatever existed in the garage was not residual. It wasn't some replay of old routines burned into the building. Something was aware in there, and it knew when people were paying attention, and that realization changed the way he visited the house. He stopped staying late whenever possible. If family gatherings drifted into the evening, he usually found reasons to leave before dark settled in completely. His sister started doing the same thing, his father noticed eventually. One evening after dinner, he quietly asked why everyone seemed so uncomfortable being there now. No one answered him directly because none of them wanted to hurt him by saying it out loud. The garage no longer felt like part of the house. It felt occupied. The final incident happened in early October, almost 4 years after his father's friend died. He got a phone call just after sunrise from one of the neighbors. His father had passed away during the night. Heart attack. The neighbor found him in the garage. At first, the grief pushed everything else aside. Funeral arrangements, relatives arriving from out of town, paperwork, cleaning the property, those things consumed the following week so completely that nobody mentioned the strange activity anymore. Then, the night before the funeral, he stayed late at the house alone. Most of the family had already gone back to hotels while he finished sorting photographs for the service the next morning. Sometime after midnight, he realized the backyard motion light was glowing through the kitchen window and the garage door stood partially open. For several seconds, he simply stared at it from across the dark kitchen. Part of him wanted to ignore it completely. Another part already knew he wouldn't sleep unless he checked. The night air felt cold as he crossed the yard. Crickets hummed somewhere beyond the trees while the motion light cast long shadows across the driveway. The garage itself looked exactly the same as always from the outside. But the moment he stepped inside, he smelled cigarette smoke. Fresh. Waiting near the workbench were two coffee cups, one clean and one stained dark with age. Sitting between them on the counter was his father's old baseball cap. He had left it inside the house earlier that evening. The radio clicked softly through static before an old baseball broadcast drifted faintly through the speakers, the same team his father and his friend listened to every summer. For decades. He stood there for nearly a full minute without moving. Not because he felt afraid anymore, but because the garage no longer felt heavy. For the first time in years, it felt empty. The motion light shut off behind him a few moments later, leaving only the quiet sound of the radio playing softly in the dark.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more. Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1-3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com. This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.